invite you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Brother Isaiah, a prophet to the nation of Israel and Judah for many, many years, a contemporary of Brother Hosea, Brother Amos. They lived in the same times. The Lord here is speaking to the nation, and we understand, we can learn from the things of the Lord dealing with the nation about how the Lord deals with His people. There is that aspect, that application that we have, looking on at the Lord dealing with His nation, how He is dedicated and devoted to His children. And He will bless us. He will chastise us. He will never forsake us. And there's a hallmark passage here, verse number 10, Isaiah 41, verse number 10. He declares, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. For I am thy God, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." If you are remembering about that verse, there's a song that we sing, "How Firm a Foundation," and that's one of the verses of that song, or where the verse of that song is taken from is here in Isaiah 41:10. And it's a promise of the Lord to His people. And what we want to concentrate on here this afternoon is this, what it says, "Fear thou not." Fear thou not. It's something that the Lord says unto us, to our brothers and sisters that are accounted about in the Scripture. And in speaking to them, speaks to us, "Fear not. Fear not." He says, "For I am with thee. Fear not. Be not dismayed. Fear not. I am thy God. Fear not, I will strengthen thee. Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear thou not." What we want to consider first here is in Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, we have the words of our Lord Jesus, and He's speaking to His disciples, speaking to us. And we just want to take a look at a couple of the aspects that are mentioned. There are others, but some foundational aspects that we need to not fear in. We don't need to ever fear, but we don't need to fear in these indeed. The Lord is speaking here in Luke chapter 12, verse number 4, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed, hath power to killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." And so here in regards to this of persecution, the fear of persecutors, which are the apostles, the disciples, and the day of our Lord's ministry, and as He called them, and the things that they dealt with while He was with them, and then those things that they dealt with and experienced after He was ascended. He says here, "Fear not. Fear not the persecutors, because I'll be with you. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen thee and I will help thee." And so He says here to us and to the apostles, He says, "Fear not the persecutors. The very hairs of your head are all numbered." When we think about our group here this afternoon, every one of the hairs on our heads are numbered. And we wouldn't even undertake to count them on one person, on one child. Take Kyle and Levi with them being buzzed. That would probably be the easiest to be able to. We wouldn't even undertake that, but the Lord knows the count. 2 sparrows are sold for very little money in the system of Judaism that the Lord gave the nation. And He says, they don't even, those birds, those little, in the mind of mankind, those little insignificant birds, they don't fall to the ground without the knowledge of our Lord. We are worth many, many times more than they. In Luke chapter 8, we come back a little bit, and Jairus, or Jairus, so we see here, and he's got a great burden on him, doesn't he? He has come to the Lord, asking the Lord to come and heal his daughter. And he is burdened. He came and he bowed down before the Lord. He's asking the Lord to help. They're on the way. We see here in Luke chapter 8, verse number 49, "While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." We need to fear not because of overwhelming circumstances and impossible things that come upon us. For the apostles, and as we saw in the last passage, fear of persecutors. We need to fear not. The Lord is with us. He knows all about it, and he's able to help us. And then when we would have such a situation as this, a great burden regarding that of the health of our children, our own personal health, the health of our brothers and sisters in Christ in the church, we need to fear not. We need to believe and trust in our Lord. He knows the time when he will take us home. He knows the way that he is working in each and every one of our lives to shape us and mold us to the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we love our loved ones. We love our children. We love our grandchildren. We love one another. And we don't want to see any harm come. And we are given unto the Lord. We are given of the Lord to be able to pray and supplicate one for another. But when such things come upon us, as our Lord told this man, a father that dearly loved his daughter, and she was at the point of death, the Lord said, "Fear not, believe only, and in her case, she shall be made whole." It may be that we or a loved one would not be made whole, but we know that the plan of God is the plan that we need. There's not room for us to step in and say, "No, there's another way that's better than the way of God." No, there's not any way that's better than the way of the Lord. He knows what's best for each and every one. We pray for his mercies, but in the end, may we fear not and rest in him, knowing that he will do what's best. And then we come back over to chapter 12. We see here in verses 22 through 34, "And he said unto his disciples," Luke 12, verse number 22, "And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, adding a foot and a half to your height, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." Verse 31. "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth doth moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So in the overwhelming circumstances of life, or the impossible things that come upon us, or just regarding that of provision for life, our Lord says, "Fear not, fear not." And we are to work. And there's a kind of a quandary that we can maybe end up. So, well, the Lord says, "Sell it all, and don't worry about tomorrow and all that." then how does that work with the need for stewardship? And if you don't work, you don't eat. I mean, those things are in the Scripture. We are to work. We are to use the talents that we've been given, never taking those and putting them before our Lord, or taking those and using them to sin against our Lord. But as we work and as we pursue and as we do, may we honor our Lord in all, and not let that, our store and our gain, be that in which we trusted in, like it was indicated with the man this morning, the rich young ruler, but that our trust and our help and our hope always be in the Lord. Fear not. Fear not, little flock. In the end of all this thing, the Lord is going to give you the kingdom. So great provision lay in store for all of us. And then we want to take a look at this aspect of it. Fear not because of overwhelming circumstances and the impossible things that come upon us, but also fear not in the great work of God in our lives and use of us to reach others. We don't need to fear when the Lord calls on us to be used in that way. I think of Brother Zacharias in Luke chapter 1. Let's take a look there. Zacharias and Luke, rather, chapter 1, verse number 11. Let's pick it up there. I trust you know the account. Brother Zacharias is of the tribe of Levi, and he is doing his priestly order in the time that's prescribed for him. And he lives over in the hill country of Judea. And he's come to Jerusalem for that, and so he's gone in there. People are praying, and his lot was to burn incense, it tells us in verse number 9. And so it's just a normal day at the temple, right? And he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Everything's going along real smooth and real nice, just the way it's supposed to go. Verse 11, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense." And he said, "Whoop, I thought I was in here by myself. What's this all about?" "And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him," because he saw it wasn't one of his priest brethren. He saw it was an angel of the Lord, and he became afraid. Listen to what it said. "And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, fear not." Natural reaction is to fear when the heavenly comes down, and that's an aspect there too. "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." The Lord had come to this point in time, according to his perfect plan, that Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth are going to have a child in their old age. The Lord was going to use them to bring the forerunner of Christ. And when the Lord wants to take us and use us for something that's just not along the normal vein and the normal course of what we're comfortable with and all that, may the Lord help us that we fear not. Fear not when the Lord wants to take us and use us in this way. We come on down here in the same chapter to verse number 28. And you know about this. Mary had been visited. Mary is going to be, and we read here in verse 26. Let's read it. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And of course, we know and understand that that declaration is not because of personal virtue of Mary, but what the Lord has done in choosing her to use her in this way. "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying." So why is he saying that? Why is he saying that way? What does he mean by that? "And casting in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." What's this all about? "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Normal day going along in the life of a young woman espoused to a man, looking forward to the final doings and celebration of their marriage, their being brought together in the bonds of matrimony, preparing for all of that and everything, and the angel of the Lord appears, oh, that's different, and said that something's going to be different in her life. She's going to have a child, not being joined to her husband yet, and she has questions about how that can be, and the question is answered, and she said, that was the testimony of Mary, whatever the Lord wants to do, let him do it. Fear not. When the Lord wants to take us and use us in His work and use us to reach others. We know that the Lord was going to bring the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. But what if Mary had said, no, I don't want that for my life. And I know that's an impossibility. I understand that. But consider, the Lord chose to use her. What if Zechariah was said, no, we prayed that a long time ago, but we're just not really interested in that now, Lord. You know, and I know those are hypotheticals that are impossible, but you understand what I'm saying. May the Lord help us that when the Lord says, I'm going to use you this way, I'm going to use you out of the normal course and vein of life that is just going on for you, I'm going to take you and I'm going to use you this way. May we not fear. May we not fear at the great work of God in our own lives to reach others. In Matthew chapter 1, we see here about another fellow involved with this, Brother Joseph. In Matthew chapter 1, verse number 20, Brother Joseph is he's a just man. He doesn't want to make a public example out of Mary. He was minded to put her away privately, it says, privily in verse number 19, verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit of God. He's thinking, man, I was looking forward to being married to her and starting a family, and now she's with child, and that's just no good, but I love her so. I'm just going to put her away and not make a big scene out of it, not make a big to-do. Oh, how could this, if this could just be undone somehow. Because he really cared for her. He really loved her, didn't he? And then the angel of the Lord comes direction of the Lord, and he says, take her to wife. Well, that causes a bad reputation. That causes whispering and talking and looks and such as that. But the Lord told him, he said, don't fear. Don't fear. The child that she is carrying is the child of God Almighty. It is all okay, Joseph. Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. In Luke chapter 2, back in that book, we see here at the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we enjoy so much about the humility of the Lord and the care of the Lord. And who is it that is allowed to know that the Lord Jesus Christ has been delivered and has come to the earth? Well, it's not the kings of the world, it's not the governor of the region, but it's the shepherds. The announcement of the coming great shepherd is heralded unto the shepherds. In Luke chapter 2, we see in verse number 8, and there were in the fields, the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Just a normal night of watching the sheep. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. Listen, they're going to be the receptors of the first word of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're the ones. And, you know, if you will allow me, is not our Lord excited about His Son coming to the earth and being born? Is not the Father joyous and rejoicing about that? He is. So he's not going to let them know by just a meager telegram, is he? Just by a little note that is passed on along to him. No, he's going to do it. He's going to do it with a fanfare and a work that is without compare. He said, and they were sore afraid. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That glory of the Lord shone round about them. It brightened up. They were sore afraid in it. And the angel said, "Fear not. This is good news." And well, it should be celebrated in this way and being shown and told in this way. Fear not at the great work of God in our lives and His use of us to reach others. What did those shepherds do? They went and told it, didn't they? They went and told it. And that's the design of the Lord, that they would enter into that city for it to be told. Then we come over here to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And we see here in the ministry of our Lord and His calling of His disciples, He working with them and taking time with them. They are the disciples of John the Baptist already. And the Lord goes down there and He teaches out of Simon's ship. And then He says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Peter says, "Oh, we worked all night. We've taken not one fish. Nevertheless, at thy word, we'll do it." Verse number 8, "And when Simon Peter saw it," what's that? A draught of fishes that was sinking both of the boats. They had to call help from the boat that was Peter was in, and for another boat to come near to be able to take everything that was caught in one net in one moment. "And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men.' And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Fear not when overwhelming circumstances and impossible things come upon us. The Lord says unto us, fear not, but rest and trust in Him. To have faith in Him that He's working His plan and He will help. And we need to bring our petition always to Him, always, yet surrendering to His will. And we need to fear not when the great work of God in our lives and His use of us to reach others, when that comes, may the Lord help us that we fear not. In Acts chapter 27, Paul recounting again how the Lord visited him on the road to Damascus. And the future of the work that he had for him to do, to be a minister unto the Gentiles. And he was taken there under false accusations in Jerusalem. They accused him of taking Gentiles into the temple. And all of that was working. And in Acts 27:24, the Lord said to Paul, "Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." And so he's on his way to Rome, and they're having that great storm there, and the Lord answers Paul's prayer and his desire for those that are with him. He says, "Fear not, even though you're in this great tempest and the working of the sea against the ship, and the late in the season as they were, because they pressed on to get he and the other prisoners there to Rome," the Lord said, "Fear not. I've got a work for you to do." Next, we want to take a look and consider about fearing not at the revealing of the heavenly and our Lord Himself. You know, we have the Word of God, and as the angel appeared to Zechariah, as the angel appeared to Mary, as the angel appeared to Joseph in the dream, we won't have those things. We can be solid and sure that we will not have those things. But we need to know, we need to learn, and as we sing in another song, and it fails me to remember what it is, you're bugged by it now, and so am I. Hopefully it'll come to me and I'll tell you about it. But one thing that we do have before us is not that we'll see an angel and not that we'll have the revelation of the heavenly into us to where we can see with our eyes, but one day we will see Christ. One day we have expectation of our Lord coming back for us. And when the heavenly of our Lord Jesus Christ and the angels and the saints that come with him, may we fear not at the revealing of the heavenly and our Lord himself, as the saints and are indicated in the scriptures. In Matthew chapter 8, we see this. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 23. The power of the Lord. And in this, we can experience such a thing. The disciples are with him, and they enter into a ship, it says in verse 23 of Matthew 8. And his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? The power of the heavenly, the power of the Son. We may see that and experience that, have experienced that in our lifetimes, in our church. And may we not be fearful at the great work of God in our lives. As it says and is quoted from Zechariah 9, verse number 9, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And John 12, verse number 15, Brother John writes, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt at the triumphant entry of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was coming. Don't fear because seemingly your lack of deliverance in that. Fear not at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 28, we see here at the time of the resurrection of our Lord, and what is said here at the revealing of the heavenly. In verse number 1 of Matthew 28, And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance, that of the angel, was like lightning, and his raiment like white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. We need not fear at the revelation of the heavenly and of the Lord himself as he appears unto us. And Revelation chapter 1, and this is what our expectation can be, like Brother John experienced on the Isle of Patmos. He saw the Lord, and he indicates this in verse number 7 of chapter 1. He cometh in clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also that pierced him, speaking of Israel. And then we come here to Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. After the Lord had spoken of the things, John has got his back to him, and he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and the Lord said what he said in verse 11, and he said, And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of mighty waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, which is our natural reaction. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. You know, that's this indication, that this description of our Lord Jesus is how we're going to see him when he comes on that white horse. That's how he is eternally now. And that's how we'll see him. And when we see him, may we be happy to see him and joyous to see him. Because the Lord Jesus, he does not want us to fear. He says to John, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I'm the first and the last, and John, I've got you." And each and every one of us that are saved, he says the same to us, "I have got you. Fear not, I am the first and the last." Indeed, there is naturally a great fear of the Lord and his appearing to mortals. It is just that way because of the heavenly and the divine appearing unto the sinful and the fleshly and the carnal. It's just that way. John's reaction, and he's a man holy. He's dedicated to the Lord. He's an apostle. He's a saved sinner. And he yet had his sins and his transgressions. But that is the natural reaction. But our Lord's indication is unto us is to fear not. To fear not. But to rejoice in him. His appearing to mortals, there's a great fear of the Lord in his appearing to mortals because of how he is and who he is. But we need not fear, but rather rejoice in his presence. And I think in the book of the Revelation, we can see that, other brother John, can't we? Until he began to describe this, which just took him. And as other prophets have said, that when they saw the glory of the Lord, their corruption was made so evident to them. But our Lord says unto us, "Fear not, and rejoice in him." But how fearful and how terrible will it be for those who do not have a salvation relationship with him to see him as he is? That'll be the case for the white throne, won't it? That'll be the case for those things indicated in the book of the Revelation. How fearful and how terrible it will be for those to see him in their flesh and see him in judgment that do not have a salvation relationship with him. Fear him. Fear him. You need him as Savior. And may God help that you turn to him and turn from your sin and the Lord save your soul. Again, as we read in Isaiah 41, verse 10, our Lord speaks to us, "Fear thou not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed." Don't be confused and don't be splintered and tattered in your hearts and in your mind. "For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will give you the strength that you need. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." As the Lord said, fear not them which kill the body and are not able to kill the soul, but rather rest in reverence of him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Fear him in reverence, but rejoice in him in his power. Our desire is for sinners to have a reverential fear. So there will not be the terrible, the terrific, terrible fear and judgment and damnation of their souls. As it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, the Lord has said unto us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." In Romans 8, verse number 15, the directive and the command and the blessing of the Lord to his children is this, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." It is not ours to be fearful, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, brought into the family of the Lord. Joint heir with Christ, as Brother Doug brought out this morning, whereby we cry, as we saw in our study with the prophets, we don't cry unto him, he is our master, but we don't cry unto him, Master. We cry unto him, Abba, Father. He's our Father. And we are his sons. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but rather the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind." That's where the Lord says, be not dismayed. Not a tattered mind, not a frayed mind, not a here and there and everywhere kind of thinking, but of a sound mind. That is the Spirit of the Lord. We rest and trust in Him. May we not fear. And we're reminded and invite you to turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 18. When speaking about the subject of fear, this is the hallmark verse that we need to consider. Our fear taking fear gaining ground in our lives is an indication of something else. Fear and love for our Lord are there working against each other. What is it that John tells us in 1 John 4:18? There is no fear in love. See, we look on at a situation, we look on at a personal situation or a situation with our loved ones, a situation with our brothers and sisters in Christ, a situation with our country, and we need to have respect and understanding for the thing that is going on, not that we're to be flighty or apathetic or such as that. We are indeed to supplicate and pray to our Lord for the need that's at hand. That is right and holy and righteous to do so. It's the right thing to do. We've got a God of impossibilities. Do well that we pray unto Him to work in the need that we have. But our Lord tells us there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. And in the midst of that trial, in the midst of that situation that we see, we go to our Lord for the desire of our heart, and we go to the Lord for the need that we believe is best for those involved, but we always surrender in that to His will. We ask for what we want, but we surrender to His will because we love Him because He first loved us. And He knows the best for everybody. He knows the best for our children. He knows the best for our grandchildren. He knows the best for our brothers and sisters in Christ, our parents, our loved ones. He knows the best for everybody. And we need to pray. We need to pray specifically. And we have concern and we have grief and we have things that are there, but we need to trust our Lord and look into our Lord knowing He knows best. And we need not fear. Like our Lord said this morning, with man that's impossible, but with God all things are possible. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and indeed it does, doesn't it? That fear will eat at us and eat at us and eat at us. It takes our relationship with our Lord and it takes it and it drags it down and it tears it up. Fear hath torment. It does so to our relationship with one another. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And that is agape love, an abundance of love being manifested as in a feast. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. And so may the Lord help us as He's given unto us. May we be a help and encouragement one to another to fear not, but rest, to petition our Lord, to go to our Lord, to rest in our Lord, to trust in our Lord, and not be a fearful people, but a people that cry unto Him in the spirit of power, and not in a spirit of bondage. I'm looking for that verse that I just, as it said in 2 Timothy 1:7, He's not given us the spirit of fear, but He's given us the spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. May we pursue and be helped in that.